Good afternoon. First, I'd like to thank the organizers, for the invitation to this lovely place. A little more? Okay. All right. The motivation of this work is to find the two or three dimensional systems that exhibit quantum spin liquid state at low temperatures. The zinc copper oxychloride has attracted a lot of attention lately for this reason. Like Young Bag and Claire gave a very nice talk about this system. So I feel like I can skip this system, go on to the next topic. But I try to fill, in this talk, try to fill experimental gaps in their talk by focusing on crystallographic and magnetic structures and dynamics. And if time permits, I'll also talk about the spin 1, spin L, germanium nickel 204. These are my collaborators. The powder samples of this zinc copper oxychloride with several different zinc concentrations were provided by Kikuchi in Japan. And neutron scattering measurements were done at NIST and HMI with collaborators there. The neutron scattering measurements on single crystal of germanium nickel 204 has been mainly done at JAEA with Masanachuda. So let me begin with this compound. This compound has attracted a lot of attention lately because it's believed that it can have the perfect quantum Kagome anti-ferromagnet. The reason is the following. This system has two crystallographically unequivalent size for transition metal ions. The one is octahedral size, surrounded by six oxygens. Another is the distorted octahedral size, surrounded by four oxygens and two chlorines. And the distorted octahedral size form Kagome layers, while this undistorted octahedral side form triangular layers that separate Kagome layers. So when the ratio of zinc to copper is 1:3, then the Kagome layers formed by the distorted octahedral side will be occupied by Yantella active copper ions, while these triangular layers will be filled by non-magnetic zinc ions. So from this, we'll get perfect quantum spin Kagome anti-ferromagnet. When these triangular layers are filled by copper, then the magnetic lattice will become a three-dimensional network of corner sharing tetrahedra, which is also a highly frustrating lattice. So as you can see, we saw this zinc copper oxychloride by simply changing the type of ion occupying the undistorted octahedral side. We can go from a 2D Kagome to a 3D pyrochlore. But in fact, the reality is not so simple. Let us consider the case when the ratio of zinc to copper is 1:3. The crystal structure is rhombohedral, but we found out that neither the zinc nor the copper sites are 100% occupied by the same type of ion. And there is a 10% side switching. The Kagome lattice is only 90% occupied by magnetic ions. So this idealized this perfect Kagome anti-ferromagnet, in fact, is not realized in this compound. In the case of copper-only systems, the triangular side is occupied with copper, So this the oxygen octahedra undergoes Yantella distortion, and then crystal becomes monoclinic. But now if you look at the structure, crystal structure more carefully, then the bond angle of kappa and oxygen, kappa and oxygen kappa in the Kagome layers is larger than 110 degree, and that is supposed to be strongly antiferromagnetic according to the Aharoni's work on cuprate. On the other hand, the bond angles of kappa, triangular kappa and oxygen Kagome kappa, it's an interplane coupling, has bond angle of less than 100 degree and is supposed to be weak. And even in the Kagome layers, there are two bonds with different bond angles and lengths. So the stronger bonds are represented by these red lines, and weaker bonds are represented by these gray lines. So this system should be considered as a weakly coupled distorted Kagome system rather than 3D pyrochlore. Okay. To summarize this, let me show you the phase diagram of the crystal structure as a function of zinc concentration. So on the one end, we have distorted Kagome that are weakly coupled. On the other end, we have undistorted but dilute Kagome. The most recent work on this system has focused on zinc end, but this concentration does not undergo any phase transition down to 30 millikelvin. So I took a different approach. I studied from the kappa end that undergoes the transitions at low temperature, so I knew that I will see something, the magnetic signals, and then moved across by adding zinc to the lattice. And I thought in that way I'll have a better chance of understanding the physics of this system. So let's see what happens to the kappa end when we cool the system down. As you can see in the specific heat data, there are two transitions at 18 Kelvin and at around 6 Kelvin. And this group also performed muon spin relaxation measurements, and they interpreted that this 18 Kelvin transition involves a long-range ordering, and at 6 Kelvin, it involves a transition to a metastable state with the strong fluctuations. The problem of their interpretation is the following. The entropy given up at 18 Kelvin is tiny compared to the value that expected for nail ordering. In fact, the large amount of entropy is released at not at 18 Kelvin, but at 6 Kelvin. So now let me show you the neutron scattering data that contradicts with Miesol interpretation. At 1.5 Kelvin, as you can see, there are magnetic Bragg peak. But this magnetic Bragg peak develops not at 18 Kelvin, but at the around the 7 Kelvin. And the magnetic characteristic vector is 001. But this nail ordering at 7 Kelvin, in fact, is consistent with space heat data that shows the large amount of entropy was released around 6 Kelvin. We refined the magnetic structure and found out that the nail state is collinear rather than the famous 120 spin configurations that is expected as a ground state for uniform Kagome antiferromagnet. So why collinear? As Youngbeck described very nicely, the mean field level, he did some fancy theory, but if you just calculate the mean field energy for this collinear structure and the 120 degree spin configuration with J1 and J2, so it's different J's, then you can see that if this weaker J2 is smaller than 2/3 of J1, then this collinear structure will be the favored. If you take the Godunov's prediction for coupling constant for this spur exchange interactions, that is proportional to cosine theta to the fourth divided by d to the seventh, then G2 becomes 1/3 of J1 for this particular compound. So that's why this collinear is favored by these compounds. Now let's pay our attention to the spin fluctuations as a function of temperature. As you can see here, at low temperature, 1.5 Kelvin, there are two excitations, one at 1.3 millivolt, and then the other at 7 millivolt. With warming, the 1.3 millivolt mode shifts to low energy. You can see the 5 millivolt is start shifting here, and 6 millivolt you can see here. And then the 7 millivolt, it becomes quasi-elastic, the quasi-elastic continuum. So this shift of 1.3 millivolt follows this order parameter, the temporal dependence of order parameter. It's a typical of spin waves, the gap of spin waves. If there is an isotropy, then the gap energy is proportional to d times j, roughly. It can be a little more complicated, but d times j times order moment. So when order moment decrease, then the gap energy, in fact, also decrease. So this is indication of this 1.3 millivolt mode being a spin wave. But if this, on the other hand, this 7 millivolt mode survives well above 7 Kelvin and gradually diminishes around 20 Kelvin, that coincides with the 18 Kelvin transition in the space kit. Furthermore, the energy of this 7 millivolt mode does not shift with temperature, unlike the 1.3 millivolt mode. So that suggests that the 7 millivolt is not a spin wave. The two excitations also have a different Q dependence. The first, the 1.3 millivolt mode has a peak at the center at the around 0.7 Ångström inverse. On the other hand, the 7 millivolt is peaked at around the 1 Ångström inverse. And this Q dependence of 7 millivolt could be reproduced pretty well by the spin dimer model. And this suggests that there are these dimers in these systems below 20 Kelvin. Even above 20 Kelvin, such as in 40 Kelvin, the Q dependence of low energy excitations resembled that of spin dimers. So let me summarize on this copper only samples. The space heat showed the two transitions at 18 Kelvin and 6 Kelvin, and the Mirasol interpretation was 18 Kelvin transition involves long range ordering, and 6 Kelvin transition is to a metastable state with strong fluctuations. But if you look at how much entropy was released, doesn't make sense. And elastic neutron scattering data reveal that long-range ordering occurs below 7 Kelvin, and no evidence for another long-range ordering above TN. And in elastic neutron scattering reveal that there are two excitations at low temperature, 1.3 and 7 millivolt, and they show a different behavior with temperature and Q dependence. So from this neutron scattering data, I propose that the phase diagram of these systems, and above, it starts from the low temperature, we have nail state, and then above 07, we have this dimer state, and 20, some sort of liquid state of this dimer state. Okay. Now let's move on to the system with zinc. here, as you can see, this is a y-axis. This is a contour map of inelastic neutron scattering data as a function of the energy transfer and momentum transfer for three different gene concentrations. So as you can see immediately that the energy, the spin excitations changes dramatically with zinc doping. You can see these two excitations are absent in two gene concentrations that I show here. The elastic scattering, this elastic, the Bragg peak, Bragg peak, this elastic, the Bragg peak, the decreasing intensity upon zinc doping, and it disappears just above 40% of zinc doping. And this 7 millivolt mode, on the other hand, disappears somewhere between 0.2 and 0.3. And this low energy 1.3 millivolt spin wave mode weakens and shifts to low energies with increasing x. So starting from x equals 0, when we have a 20% zinc, it broadens here. And when we further doping, then it moves to the to low energy, and eventually at the 0.66, and above 0.66, this energy spectrum becomes the Gablis continuum. Okay, so let me summarize the following. When we study this null state VVS VVL, when we doped zinc, then this null state is replaced by spin glass around 0.4 or 0.5. And then eventually the spin glass, the static ordering disappears. And VVS state disappears around 0.3. So I call this spin leakage state questionable RVV state. We don't know what this state is. So let's focus on the nature of spin fluctuations in this liquid state at the zinc end. So this slide shows how this spin fluctuation changes with zinc doping. So starting with this prominent Q dependence observed in kappa end, when we dope zinc, this Q dependence quickly suppressed, and at the zinc end, it becomes featureless. And this solid line is the magnetic form factor square of kappa 2 plus ions. So it looks like this Q dependence is a single ionic. This behavior is very different from the famous Kagome systems, SVGO, with a spin 3/2. And as you can see here, it has a very prominent peak in Q, the finite Q, around 1.5 ohm strong intervals. And this S of Q decrease goes to zero as Q decrease. And this is indication of the fact that the fundamental spin degree freedom of this system is the local spin object with total total zero moment. When we apply the magnetic field on this the liquid state, then this low energy excitation reported by Young-Mis group, low energy excitation shifts to the finite field induced excitation. And when they apply 11.5 Tesla, the energy of this field induced excitation was about 1.4 millivolt. And we did similar measurements on x equal 0.66 samples at several different age. As you can see, 7 Tesla, the field induced peak appeared at around 0.9 millivolt, and that energy increases when we increase magnetic field. And this energy, the energy of the field induced excitation follows this G-man energy. It follows here exactly G times mu B times H. In addition, we haven't seen any evidence for any field-induced static ordering. So it's all still seems like liquid state. So let me summarize the characteristics of spin fluctuations in this questionable LVV state. The spin excitations is featureless in energy and in momentum. And on the external magnetic field, the excitation, the field-induced excitation appears, and energy follows G-man energy term. Now, in the case of x equal 1, the 10% of kappa 2 plus ions are located at the triangular side and very weakly coupled with Kagome spins, one may say that maybe those free spins are responsible for this single ionic these spin fluctuations in this material. To test this scenario, what we did was we normalized this inelastic data in an absolute unit. And when we integrate over this Gablis continuum from 0.2 millivolt to 1.7 millivolt, if we assume that only the 10% free spins are contributing to the spectral weight, then we got 1.1 per each kappa 2 plus ions. That is much larger than sum rule, which is s times s plus 1, that's 0.75. So I think it's unrealistic. So we discard this scenario, and we conclude that even though this low energy continuum is single ionic, it is due to collective excitation of Kagome kappa 2 plus ion. So let me just summarize this phase diagram. So on this end, the crystal structure is monoclinic, and we have this distorted Kagome layers. On this zinc end, we have this nice undistorted Kagome, but diluted. And by performing neutron scattering measurements on several different zinc concentrations, we could identify several different phases and characterize those phases. Okay. Sure. You mean 10? But but in here, you know, there is no size switching because you know every size are occupied by. Probably around that, and in fact, there's a little. In fact, we are trying to determine the crystal structure around here, whether there is a phase separation or just one uniform phase with side switching. So that I cannot answer at the moment. Okay. So now let me move on to let's see, how much time? One minute. Let me just quickly, the spin out that has been described by the previous speakers. So I'm not going to go into detail, but here I want to make a point that the B side is octahedral side, surrounded by six oxygens. This neighboring oxygen octahedron shows two oxygens with edge sharing network. So if the B side is occupied by transition metal ions with T2G electrons, then the nearest neighbor interaction due to direct overlap of neighboring T2G will be dominant, and further nearest interaction will be negligible. So that's why there have been a lot of studies on the spinel systems with vanadium and the vanadium chromium D2 and D3 T2G electrons, and I'm not going into detail, but the we have found the community found that interesting spin leakage phase and spin piles transition and field induced plateau states and even the multiferric materials in the chromite. In the vanadate, we have this orbital degeneracy. Let me show the next slide. In chromite, the transition, there's only one transition, and the lattice distortion and the magnetic long range ordering occur simultaneously. On the other hand, when there is orbital degeneracy, in the case of vanadate, then the false ordering occurs. The first transition, in fact, is due to this orbital degeneracy, so the sort of Yantella transition. And then in the case of vanadate, that orbital ordering makes the system effectively 1D physics, and the magnetic ordering occurs at the low temperature when photon near stable interaction or interchain coupling kicks in. So in this case, there are two phase transitions. So in an attempt to find the spinel systems with the lower spin, we studied germanium nickel 204 that has EG electrons. And we were very surprised that this system undergoes two magnetic phase transitions, even though this nickel 2 plus does not have any orbital degeneracy. The first transition occurs at 12.1 Kelvin, and then the second transition occurs at 11.4 Kelvin. So we measured the intensity of two magnetic reflections, one half-half-half and half-half minus half. And when we scale them as a function of temperature, you can see the ratio of the two intensities changes in these two phases, phase one and phase two, the ratio are different. This indicates that these two ordered phases have different magnetic structures. Okay. Since the magnetic characteristic wave vector is half-half-half, it is useful to look at the crystal structure in the direction of 1-1-1 direction. If you look at the 1-1-1 direction, then this pyrochloride can be seen as a Kagome triangular Kagome planes. And in fact, the system is composed of four sublattices, each of which forms an FCC lattice, in fact. So three sublattices form a Kagome, and one sublattice form a triangular lattice. So we measured the magnetic Bragg reflections at several reflections in phase one and phase two, and we refined the structure. We found out that the in phase one, the data could be explained by the Kagome spin only, without the triangular spins. As soon as we put the order moment at the triangular side, then the data was not reproduced well. So these purple lines are the model calculation with triangular spins also ordered. On the other hand, in phase two, the lower temperature, the data called for the ordered moment at the triangular size. So why this phase transition? Why these triangular spins are not ordered? As you can see, if we have a ferromagnetic Kagome plane and that is antiferromagnetic coupled along 1-1-1 direction, then the mean field energy at the triangular side vanishes. So this triangular size frustrates. That's why it orders at low temperature. I'm not going to detail, but since nickel 2 plus ion has EG electrons, instead of these nearest stable interactions, we have to consider further nearest stable interactions through these complicated spin exchange interactions. And people, in fact, consider that, but they only considered up to J1, J2, J3, J3 prime. But if you consider all spore exchange interactions that involve one or two spore exchange passes, we have to in fact consider J4. It was left out. But it turned out this J4 is very important because J4 connects the different cargomere layers. Yeah? So that favors the cargomere layer ordering at higher temperature. And this ordering temperature for the triangular N cargomere spins determined by this energy for each size. So we can estimate what is this mean field energy for the absorbed half-half-half structure and other possible structures. Then we can compare by comparing this the total energy, we can guess what kind of J4 we should have, and this is in fact make sense for this thermodynamical 204 according to a good enough Kanamori rule. And just by comparing the transition temperatures, then we can guess also the relation between certain some of this coupling constant. But since these two transition temperatures are very close, that means that J3 prime might be anti-ferromagnetic. J3 is ferromagnetic, which is in fact not consistent with the Goodenough Kanamori rule. And that means maybe the exchange model that we considered is simple, and we should consider other things like anisotropy. Let me just show you a summary. Thank you for your attention.
I just wondered, so in this, why there is no kind of spin bias transition? So spins in or ions in triangular layers can shift, you know, towards one plane and gain in energy. So when the spins in Kagame layers order ferromagnetically but opposite to each other, yeah? So why don't the ions, shift towards one of the layers and benefit?
The non-collinear structure you're talking about.
Either non-collinear or just, they will shift towards one layer and interaction is there, paralleled or anti-paralleled.
Yeah, yeah. But the synchrotron X-ray measurements were performed and they didn't see any crystal structure. Mm-hmm. In fact, also we performed the, so somehow there's no crystal structure. And as you can see, just a simple exchange models, then this one. Yeah, in fact, that's what we need to do, right? And then we will determine all the experimental different orders. Yeah, exactly. The crystal is tiny. We did some preliminary measurements, but it's not enough for dispersion analysis.
I have a question about the first system with pure copper.
Yeah.
You discussed ordering in Kagame layers. What are triangular spins? What the spins in between are doing? First question, and the second question, what is actually the value of order moment for both sides?
Right. Good question. The first, this model, this one can be refined by two models. One is only the Kagome spins order, and the order moment was very close to the fully polarized value. And also we can fit this model with Kagome and triangular model. Triangular model was half order. And but if you look at the interaction between the Kagome and triangular models, if you take this again the good enough predictions, then this interplane coupling is like only 5% of the strong bond.
Mm-hmm. But what is the direction of this intermediate triangular spins?
Direction we don't know because it's power to time.
Okay.
You only know the year.
But is it coplanar? Is it totally coplanar structure or it's non-collinear?
We cannot distinguish that. The power diffraction.
In the talk by Jon Beck Kim, he presented another valence bond covering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this excluded by your neutron
not
data?
At all. Not at all. So our data, this 7 millivolts, is the indication that the evidence of this existence of dimer. But we cannot say anything about pattern of this dimer. So the Jon Beck's model looks like it has this nice general energy mode, so must be correct.
And how are we supposed to think about the coexistence of valence bond solid and magnetic order?
I don't know how to answer that because this is just experimental observation, and that we don't know the answer.
Can you show us the phase diagram for the system?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's two questions. What's the difference between the valence bond liquid and the paramagnet? And question two is, what is the difference between the valence bond solid and the valence bond liquid phases here?
Experimentally, experimentally, including myself, is sometimes use this terminology more freely than theorists. So I use this terminology just indicating that we have this 7 millivolt mode. And this one, in fact, the Q dependence of this phase are same. Yeah. So I thought, I guess that's the only.
But is there a phase transition around 20 kelvins?
Oh yeah, In fact, that's what we have seen, the phase heat.
How would you characterize? Is there a Birkin symmetry, or what's the difference between these phases?
One idea would be this Jon Beck's this.
I'm asking about experimental indications that there are two different phases.
Experimental indication is only this 7 millivolts.
But if we go to the valence bond solid picture, I don't think there is any translational symmetry breaking there. No, but the unit cell there is pretty large, and I don't think there's any translational symmetry breaking in that. So that's my question. Is there any Birkin symmetry that distinguishes this stuff above 20 and below 20?
We'll be able to answer the question if we have a single crystal, but we don't have a crystal all powered data.
Paula.
That's right, up to 20 kelvin.
Paolo.
Yes, perhaps you've shown it already, but is there any change in the intensity of the 7 millivolt excitation when you go through the nail temperature?
That's a good question. No.
No change?
No change.
So they, it looks like they are from different parts of the crystal, maybe,
that,
at phase separation.
There is also a possibility. But then, I cannot rule that out at the moment. Yes. Yeah. This one. So there is a little kink around 18 Kelvin, and that corresponds to the development of this 7 millivolt mode. Excuse me? The blue symbols the zero Tesla data. We have this one. And it survives up to, looks like, 5 Tesla.
Any further questions and comments?
No, it's the ambient pressure and ambient field.
Because okay. I know that these are, there's another variant, olivine, with the same stoichiometry?
Yeah, I believe so.
I thought this was a high pressure field. I just wondered. Huh? Okay. Yes. Germanium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Silicon high pressure field. Yes.
To you know, add to my comment, I think it should be ferroelectric, even if LOMC, even if this material, the second one, yeah. So if you have order in say in one layer in one direction and the other direction, yeah, and you have also, in the low temperature phase, alternating ordering in this direction, there is nothing which could prevent this. Ions in the triangle layer shift with respect to the Kagame layer, and it might be very weak or small shift or even polarization, yeah, which you might not pick up in neutrons, but in thermodynamical measurement, you probably would see.
You're talking about
because
of this magnetic restriction.
Yeah, and it should be large, magnetic restriction.
Right. I don't know if my Japanese colleagues
have another. Okay. Good.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments, let us thank Sinhun for a nice talk.